Welcome, welcome, welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves, and forgive me if I'm beginning to sound a bit repetitive, but it's been a big week here in WWE, a lot to get to. We hope you enjoyed the off seasons, because in the last week, we've experienced two colossal season premieres, Friday Night SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, NXT keeps turning up the heat. And of course, I can't cover all of this madness, all of this breaking news throughout the WWE universe without my co-pilot, the Fighting Irishman, KP, Kevin Patrick. What's the good word, my friend? You've had yourself a hell of a week.
Oh, Gravy, great to see you, man. I tell you what, I woke up in a phenomenal mood today because I woke up in my own bed. I'm back in the little closet studio here in Atlanta, and great to see your beautiful face through the call here. It's just great to be home. You know what it's like when you wake up in your own bed, you could put on the pot of coffee. And for those that listen in and watch our shows, the travel grind is real. It's real. We're in different cities every single week, and there's something special. But being in your own bed, man, waking up next to your
wife. No doubt about it. You get no disagreement from me. But also, I have to draw attention to the fact that you're an absolute madman and you voluntarily like triple your travel load because you still do your football matches. Yeah. See what I did there? Football matches. I didn't say soccer.
You can
games,
say
KP.
Calcio. You can call it whatever you want, man.
Oh, by the way, KP, I nearly forgot. We have got a big time guest this week. None other than Nia Jax. So much to get to with her. I want to talk about her time away from WWE and what brought the Irresistible Force back to WWE.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Well, I'm glad that you've made it home safe and sound. I can tell. You can see in your eyes. You're a little tired, but you're grinning from ear to ear. I like that. Good. I like that you got to live the full life of the WWE play-by-play guy pulling double duty because it has been a massive week. Yeah. No shortage of topics to talk about. Just for our own sanity, let's take it back to this past Friday night on SmackDown, the season premiere, the return of the Tribal Chief, KP. It was a blink and you miss it sort of night. One of those episodes of SmackDown that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, and by the time you look at your watch or your phone, it's like 3 minutes till the end of the night. Mm-hmm. We go off the air with the Tribal Chief standing over the hottest star in the business, LA Knight. What were your biggest takeaways from everything that went down in Tulsa?
Number one takeaway, okay, is that Roman Reigns, while being hated by so many people around the world, was so unbelievably beloved where we were in Tulsa on Friday Night SmackDown. Did you see the crowd? Did you see the reaction? When that music hit and Roman Reigns eventually walks out, the entire arena was standing, acknowledging Roman Reigns. And I wasn't sure that was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. In each arena, there's a different sense, there's a different aura, a different feel, a different sensation. But everybody in Tulsa was acknowledging Roman. Did you notice that?
I absolutely noticed it, and it's been the same in every arena in which Roman has walked over the past year or so. And I say that only in the last year or so because Roman, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, and I believe I've heard or read Paul Heyman say something similar, to where Roman Reigns has transcended being a champion or transcended even being the face of WWE, in that Roman is a true attraction. an attraction as the guy, as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Yes, you've got Seth Rollins doing the Lord's work on Mondays as the World Heavyweight Champion, being that workhorse champion. But Roman is something different entirely. And it almost draws back to the days of a Bruno Sammartino or Hulk Hogan. And we talked about it here on After the Bell, and I'm grateful for everybody who's been listening that long as we approach 200 episodes. More on that later. Not to toot my own horn just yet. But when Roman comes to town, it's an event. It's a happening, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say. It's something you cannot miss. It truly is must-see TV because you don't see Roman all the time. But when you do, when that operatic note hits to begin the music, that dun-dun-dun, and then you hear the angelic voice that everybody, if you watch the fans, there's a half a second before everyone stands up and throws their ones in the air where everyone just looks. And there's that tangible feeling in the arena of, oh my God, he's here. We have you hear LA Knight, you hear the robot voice at the beginning of LA Knight's music, you know people stand straight up. It's almost reflexive. People just instinctively stay, oh my God, it's time to get excited. But Roman almost offers this level of disbelief, this truly larger than life persona when he is present. And Roman has worked incredibly hard to cultivate that. But that's what we're experiencing now. The same reason that a King Kong Bundy or Andre the Giant or insert name here, who were The Undertaker later in his career, where you weren't necessarily caught up in your own emotions as to whether or not you like this guy or you can't wait to cheer him or boo him. You're just excited that he's there. It is truly a sight to behold on television, yes, but even more so in an arena where you get that intimate communal experience of realizing there are 10,000 or so other WWE fans in the same pocket of disbelief that you are, and you are all lucky enough to witness the Tribal Chief. It is unbelievable, and I can't say enough about it.
You know, it takes me back in time a little bit. I've talked to you about this before. You mentioned I also work in the football world. I've been to Real Madrid. I've been to Barcelona. I've seen the Messi versus Ronaldo's, right? And I've seen and witnessed at the Santiago Bernabeu in Madrid, the Spanish capital, or at the Camp Nou in Barcelona, how these teams emerge to the opera, right? They walk out to Plácido Domingo in Barcelona. They walk out to Hala Madrid. And when they do that, there's a spine-tingling aura about it. Similar with Roman Reigns. It takes you back, and it's gladiator-esque.
Yes.
When that music hits and he's walking out and it's that wait for Roman to emerge. My God, man. The feeling there in the arena is always something unique and different, as it is watching the television. Watching Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, you feel that sense of, holy, he's here.
Yes.
This is happening.
It's like time stands still. Like you are about to see something that you've only read about in books. Almost mythical. And it continues to grow. And as the dominance continues, the legend that is Roman Reigns will continue to grow. And to be fair, we had that momentary interaction, just a quick little stare, an acknowledgement, pun intended, between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, which I think a lot of the WWE universe went, oh my God, we almost forgot about that. Like that was the most important thing happening in WWE on the lead up to WrestleMania. Cody, understandably, has not given up on finishing his story, but he's taken a few sidetracks, as you have to. I mean, when Roman's not in town, you can't challenge the guy, and Roman's got other guys chasing him at all times. It looks like LA Knight could be the next to step up or step foot on the island of relevancy. But just that look, that is one of those special moments. I've seen that still shot all over my social media in the days since, because it reminded, and that's all it was. I hate to say it's a tease. It wasn't, oh, hey, everybody, remember this? It was just that organic, oh my God, we forgot. We were so obsessed. KP, you and I did this podcast after WrestleMania, and we talked about how the collective hearts of the WWE universe were shattered. Yeah. And the business and WWE and the fans and everybody have been so red hot recently that it's easy to forget because we're moving a million miles an hour. And then just to have that glimpse of, oh, the story's still not finished. What does this mean? What could this mean? And I don't expect it to come to fruition in the very near future, but it was just that little breadcrumb to let everybody know, oh, there's still a little bit of meat left on this bone.
And you're saying I forgot. Can we take it back to who Roman Reigns actually interrupted? John Cena.
Right.
At the beginning of Friday Night SmackDown. It's John Cena, the greatest of all time, kicking off the show when Roman's music actually hits. We had a stare off there. We had a stare off with Roman and Cody Rhodes. We had a stare off with LA Knight and Roman Reigns. This was a Friday Night SmackDown that I won't forget anytime soon. But that stare off between Cena and Roman was fascinating for me because I talk about the WWE universe, the fans acknowledging Roman. All of a sudden then when Roman got to the ring, I'm looking around and you saw me again and just doing a little bit of this, taking off the headset for anyone watching on YouTube, taking off the headset just to feel what's going on. And all of a sudden, everybody acknowledging Roman, there was a certain percentage that went, Cena, Cena. Mm. And you started to feel it going, who's with Roman here? Who's with Cena? Until Cena quickly shifted gears and allowed LA Knight take a lot of the spotlight and step to Roman.
But I think the biggest problem we as the collective WWE universe are suffering from right now is an embarrassment of riches. We've got John Cena. We've got Roman Reigns. LA Knight is setting the world on fire. This is just on Friday Night SmackDown. You've got the Queen, Charlotte Flair, insert mega star here. Oh, and by the way, just in case your appetite wasn't satiated with all of the madness from Friday Night SmackDown season premiere, just wait a couple days. Yeah. We're going to give you even more. And KP, I'm very proud of you. I wanted to wait to say this publicly. You were sent on a foray, an expedition, if you will, on your own. No safety net, no CG, no Michael Cole, just you and the big Brit, Wade Barrett. You did a fantastic job. But how was it? How was it from your perspective, flying solo, so to speak, again on Monday Night Raw?
Well, that's it, though. And for anyone listening in, it's no secret. I lean on you a lot. You know, I have throughout the last year, and it's now been a year, you know, season premiere to season premiere, of leaning on Corey Graves and of late Michael Cole. And you learn so much sitting next to Michael Cole. You just do. I mean, even the way he punches home graphics, you know, like his energy, his emotion, his psychology, his storytelling. Same for you, bud. You will absolutely in time be regarded as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to do the position you're in. And I learn from you each and every week. But with that, sometimes comes a little bit of trepidation because I'm next to someone who does this damn job so perfectly that all of a sudden you're kind of caught sometimes and you don't spit out what's on your mind. Well, I needed to on Monday because I'm next to Wade, and Wade's brilliant at what he's doing as well, but Wade is still somewhat green on commentary like myself. He's only been doing it a few years, right, Wade? If not even less than that.
Yeah,
so it was time for Wade and I to both step up, and Wade was a real leader. Hopefully I did my part as well, and we had fun. We did. I really enjoyed it. It was a great show. We had a lot of big moments to talk about, which we'll get into right now. And all in all, we went and we had a pint of Guinness afterwards and we said cheers because it was the first time in Raw history that an American accent wasn't on the commentary desk. Pretty wild.
We
got
to change that now. This Yank needs to, listen, come on now. I can't have any regional dialects or accents anymore. I need at least one American to bring, you know, real estate value down at the table. Yeah.
No, but it'll be great to be back on with you guys on Friday. And Cole will obviously be back. Michael Cole, what about Cole? Like a well-earned day off. And do you know what? For anyone out there that's saying, no, this is his third show he's missed now. Absolutely not. If anything, he's missed minus shows because Cole is pulling double duty. So this one shouldn't count.
That's true. I agree with that. But I also, I debated for about 30 seconds sending out a message on social media during the show on Monday night to tell the fans, hey, you guys made such a big deal out of Michael Cole not missing shows for 26 years that the first opportunity he had, he fled the coop. So blame yourselves. Had you guys not brought it to his attention, we sure as hell weren't going to. Nobody in WWE bothered to tell Cole that until, you know, Seth Rollins brought it up on the microphone.
Well, so I passed Rollins backstage. And Rollins looks at me and he's all ready to go and he's doing his little dance and he says, I give Michael Cole all that praise, and then he takes the night off.
But the embarrassment of riches continued on Monday, on the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. I want to talk first things first because chronologically it occurred prior to what I want to talk about next, that being the Falls Count Anywhere match between Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura. No shortage of highlight reel footage out of that one.
No, it was unbelievable. Ricochet, what this fella can do is just superhuman. I mean, a shooting star press from amongst the WWE universe into a crowd full of people wiping out Shinsuke. But Shinsuke is the one I really want to touch on because he waited for that moment, didn't he? He's just, there's something dark, sinister, evil nearly about Shinsuke right now, and he's dangerous. And Ricochet, as Wade said on commentary, is all heart, and that can sometimes come at a cost. And he put him through the table. Shinsuke put Ricochet through Kinshasa, and I think maybe moves on from Ricochet all of a sudden. But Ricochet, outstanding performance from a fella who is must-see television every time he's on your screen.
No doubt about it. That this was an example, KP, as we have been talking recently, where one person wins, but both people succeed, meaning that Ricochet's stock rose even in defeat. But for Shinsuke Nakamura, it was of the utmost importance, in my opinion, to establish himself again after coming up short in his bid to become world heavyweight champion. Yes, they were incredible matches with Rollins, but sometimes you run the risk of having that shot at the top of the mountain and then tumbling all the way back down to where you started. But what Nakamura did, I think, was prevent that downward slide for himself with a decisive, impressive, brutal victory over Ricochet. And the vignettes, again, I stand by the fact that we are seeing the best Shinsuke Nakamura we have seen since he arrived in the United States as a member of NXT, WWE. We are seeing the truest form of Shinsuke, and I truly think that the sky is the limit for the King of Strong Style.
I know, and let's see where he focuses his attention next, because it feels to me, Gravy, like Shinsuke is going to do whatever the hell Shinsuke wants right now, and he's going to target whoever he wants. I just get that feeling about him. Do you?
I absolutely agree. I'm just curious. And Nakamura has, it's tough in this business when you possess a certain mystique to recapture it. And I think that's what we've seen out of Shinsuke. Shinsuke, when he arrived, was just sort of exotic. And if you knew what Nakamura accomplished in Japan and what a star he was over there. So if you followed the business over there, you had an idea, maybe you were excited, but there was just something mysterious about Shinsuke and his movements, and he's somewhere in between Michael Jackson and Bruce Lee in his mannerisms and everything that makes Shinsuke Shinsuke. And I dare say that the bloom was off the rose for a while. Shinsuke became sort of just another WWE superstar, so it was of the utmost importance for him to step out on his own, which he did in the rivalry with Rollins. But again, in having the battles with Rollins, we realized, we remembered what Shinsuke is capable of. And he's taken that and expanded on it and grown it. And to me, the mystique is back, maybe better than ever.
There's no one else like him, Gravy. WWE television, who else is like Shinsuke? And there are a lot of people like each other, right? There's a lot of characteristics that you can put in categories nearly. But I think Shinsuke's in a category of his own.
I'm not going to argue with you. I've been a big fan of Shinsuke Nakamura since his days in New Japan. I used to steal his stuff when I was in NXT. I used to try to replicate it very poorly, but I used to borrow heavily, I would say, or at least that was my intention. I'm sure I didn't have the physical abilities or the cool factor that Shinsuke had. But
you know what else is unique?
Was that
the tag team of Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso, man. That was a unique tag team while it lasted, but they were
The operative word. They are no longer unique in a sense that they have lost tag team titles. They have joined another laundry list of people who have suffered that fate. But the Judgment Day back on top again, KP.
Yeah, I know. Wearing all the gold again now. Dom obviously lost his title, NXT North American title, wins it back. Rhea still, you know, will put her title on the line in a fatal five-way, which we'll discuss with one of the competitors from that match here momentarily, Nia Jax. But Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso were flying in this match. They were looking like they were going to retain, no question about it, until, damn it, Jimmy Uso, out of nowhere, where the hell did he come from, screws his own brother yet again. And it came on a night that must have been incredibly emotional for Jey Uso, given all the played out with the confrontations with Drew McIntyre, when he's like, look, I'll never trust you. The confrontation with Sami Zayn, in which Sami had to nearly apologize because he's like, damn it, you're the reason that Kevin Owens is no longer by my side. He left Monday Night Raw because of you, Jey Uso. And then Jey gets screwed by his own brother. Feels like Jey Uso only has one friend right now, Cody Rhodes, and you wonder where that'll go.
Watching Jey Uso exist on Monday Night Raw gives me anxiety. It makes me uncomfortable. And it is what I would imagine would happen if you broke up in spectacular fashion with an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or partner or whatever it may be. And you broke up and you said every evil thing you could possibly think of to one another because it was ugly and you were both trying to win the argument and it was both of your faults and this, that, and the other thing. And then all of a sudden, you show up at her family reunion. Yeah, maybe there's going to be a brother that you used to get along with and you're like, oh, hey, man, good to see you. You know, we didn't fall out. Me and your girl fell out. But otherwise, the rest of the family's going, wait, who invited this? Wait, yeah. Isn't this the same guy? It just doesn't. I don't see it ending well. I just
Everyone's been there. Come on,
it's
folks.
Not
you
a good situation. I don't envy Jey Uso in any way, shape, or form. And obviously, unfortunately for Jey and Cody, they are no longer the undisputed tag team champions. But while we're on the topic of titles, KP, I know we've got Nia Jax coming down the pike in a matter of minutes. She is a heavy hitter, and I don't think she would have been out of place in a matchup like we saw for the Intercontinental Championship. We're talking heavy hitters. We're talking big, meaty men slapping meat. Gunther, Bronson Reed, KP, congratulations. You got yourself a banger on Monday night.
Yeah, and you always talk to me in the early stages of commentary about getting lost in a match. I didn't know where I was. It was an out-of-body experience, you know, experiencing that alongside Wade. Gunther is Gunther. We've waxed lyrical about Gunther so many times on this show. Bronson Reed was elevated in the minds of everybody in defeat. And it's something you often talk about, is that he was a winner in a different way on that night, on Monday Night Raw. Man, his whole chest looked like minced meat after that battle with Gunther. But yet, you I'm sure, watching at home, noticed there was something different about Gunther. What was it? I can't put my finger on it, but something felt different about this match from Gunther's perspective.
I'll tell you what it was. Gunther competed almost predominantly from a defensive manner. And I don't mean that he was playing defense the entire time. It's that Gunther's strategy and the way he approached Bronson Reed was very different than what we're used to seeing from the ring general. It was a healthy professional respect, because as big and imposing and dangerous and powerful and skilled as Gunther is, he realized Bronson Reed is a different cat, man. This is a different breed of human being. He's 330 pounds, but he moves like a man half that size. Oh, by the way, he is actually a legitimate power lifter. So Reed was arguably one of the strongest men Gunther's been in the ring with, at least in WWE, if not ever. It's a different type of opponent, and what we saw out of Gunther was strategy. He strategized differently. Notice he was looking for the sleeper hold early on. Yeah. He wasn't trying to stand toe-to-toe and chop down Bronson. Of course, he connected with a, you know, dozen of his trademark chops. But that wasn't Gunther's strategy. It wasn't that bully that we're used to seeing. Yeah. He had to strategize. He had to stick and move. And at times, it looked like Bronson was going to topple the ring general. It looked as though Gunther had exhausted all of his resources until he digs down deep, somehow delivers another thunderous powerbomb. I was still, you know, baffled from when he did it to Otis a few weeks ago to do it again to Bronson Reed and retain. But my biggest takeaway, KP, was less about the physicality. And I don't want to say it wasn't about the physicality, because trust me, you know as well as anybody, that's what I love. I love dudes just throwing hands and just beating the out of each other. It was the reaction from the WWE Universe when the bell rang and Samantha Irvin introduced announced Gunther. There was applause. There was something organic in the crowd where they were appreciative of the battle they just witnessed. And it wasn't a boo Gunther, you're foreign, you're the bad guy, you're the mean. No, because if you think about it, Gunther is not a bad guy, in a sense that his motivations to me seem pretty pure. They are the same motivations as everybody who steps into the ring: to have great matches, to win championships, to have your name and legacy live on forever. Gunther treats the mat like it's sacred. And Gunther may be a little more high and mighty than the average fan would want to approve of or understand, but the fans are starting to learn. Like we talk about on this show week after week after week, ad nauseum, I gush about Gunther because he is as good as he says he is. You can bet your bottom dollar Every time he steps in the ring, it's going to be memorable. And this dude is growing into a force that will stand the test of time. And I think the fans are just starting to go, yeah, maybe he's a little arrogant. Maybe he's a little more cocky than my favorite superstar, but God dang, he's good. And I like to watch him do what he does. KP, I'm going to drop a hot take on you before we introduce Nia Jax to ATB. She is patiently waiting in the wings. We're grateful, and I don't like to keep Nia waiting. You heard it here first. By the time the Royal Rumble rolls around, KP, in old Gravy's estimation, Gunther will be a fan favorite and wildly popular amongst the WWE universe without changing a damn thing about what he does. I think he is going to, because that's the magic of Gunther. He's just good. It's not dissimilar to back in the day when Mr. Perfect was around in WWE. Mr. Perfect was this guy who was telling you, I'm not good. I'm perfect. And if you met that human being or you or your buddy or anybody you know said that, no, I'm perfect, you would want to slap the taste out of their mouth. But when Kurt Hennig got in the ring from bell to bell, whether it was against Roddy Piper or Bret Hart or insert classic match here, people started going, he might be perfect. And I may not want to buy his t-shirt, but God, I'm never going to miss anything he does in the ring. And you begin to appreciate what this athlete brings to the table. And maybe that's not the greatest comparison, but I don't think I'm that far off the mark. Gunther will stand the test of time. And I'm telling you, by the time we get to Tropicana Field in January, when Gunther's music hits, it will be a lot closer to the reaction for an LA Knight than it is for what we've been used to seeing from the ring general who, we don't really like this guy. He's kind of a jerk. That's my prediction.
You know what else appreciates? Is Gravy's predictions. Because you did say, well, it was a bit ago now, to be fair, that Gunther is the greatest professional wrestler walking God's green earth. Those were your words. And guess what? With every match, that compounds and that appreciates and that grows in value. And you're absolutely spot on. And I don't disagree with you at all. And this is from, look, your wisdom through the roof here, bud. I'm learning each and every week. I'm absolutely learning, but I'm seeing what you're saying. You know, and there is this massive appreciation for everything that he does. And you're spot on. When you walk the walk and talk the talk and you do all that and you say you're as good as you are and you back it up, what's not to love? You know, what's not to love?
I completely agree with you. And let me say it again. Let me double down. I do not want to see Gunther smiling and shaking people's hands and high-fiving people and talking about you and we did it. No, I want Gunther to keep doing the same damn thing he does each and every night forever. I love it. I am never going to grow tired of it. And I think the future is extremely bright. Again, an embarrassment of riches. And as red hot as WWE has been over the past year and a half or so, it seems to get longer and longer, the timeline, and things keep getting hotter and hotter. You're seeing a few familiar faces join the fray. None more so than our guest at this time, Nia Jax. Nia, first things first, welcome to After the Bell for the first time ever. I owe you an apology. I didn't even realize this was your first time. So welcome, and the floor is yours.
For what?
For what?
What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want to say. I'm offering my platform here on After the Bell to the irresistible force, Nia Jax. We're going to take this conversation wherever the hell you want it to go.
Graves, I'm scared, man. We've had a lot of badasses on this show. A lot of people that have looked at me before and I've felt that they wanted to rip my head off. Nia Jax is one of them.
I can confirm. So. I can confirm. Nia and I communicate from time to time. She does, in fact, want to rip your head off. So
I'll text him every now and then. I'll be like, yo, rip his head off for me. I can't stand him. I usually do that.
And I found out that it's you, by the way.
Yeah. When he's laughing, looking at his phone, he's like, oh, it's me. I'm making fun of you.
Basically. Oh, man. So, okay. So buckle up, KP. It could be a long day. Nia, so much to get to. I mean, a lot of ground to cover. So let's start at the top. I mean, we could start back at the beginning and your first run here in WWE, but let's stick with the present, the here and the now, or leading up to it. I think I know I was shocked when I heard the news, I guess a year plus ago, that you were gone from WWE. And I think a lot of people want to know what Nia Jax did in her time away from WWE that prepared you for this run we're experiencing now?
Well, I was pretty shocked too, like my time away. And it happened to become one of the best things that ever happened to me. I was able to really deep dive into finding myself again. I'm sure you know more than anybody else that when you're in the bubble for so long, you kind of get lost in the sauce, you know, of WWE. It's a big, like, I don't want to say drug, but there's just like, it's a bubble. You're in a bubble and you're stuck in the WWE world and you don't really see outside. You have your blinders on. And being released gave me the time to actually like dive back into myself and figure out like what I want and what I want to do. And, it was funny because I was telling Kevin and he didn't really know, but I bought 40 acres of land.
And like I decided, you do.
Yeah. Whatever. You just buy some land, right?
40 acres.
Yeah, I bought 40 acres.
Who are you? John Dutton. Yellowstone, yeah,
honestly, I'm about to go down that route. I can see it. Fighting land, for my land.
Land Baron, Nia Jax.
Yeah, that's me.
Can you imagine if Rhea Ripley bought the 40 acres next to her?
Why are we talking about Rhea Ripley already, yeah, Kevin?
This is why you are not
in the good graces of Nia Jax. God, I'm trying to teach you, man.
This is why I cannot stand you. Anyways, Corey. I bought 40 acres of land. I started clearing it and we've been put fencing up. We got some animals. I have about 30 to 40 chickens. I just got a llama. I have a goat and a pig. And now we're actually trying to fence out for some dairy cows. So,
wow. Jax Farms, yes, man. There you go.
Basically, yeah.
That's going to be
a huge project.
The big rivalry. You're going to have to renew it. It'll be Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. Battle of the Farms.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
You know, it'll be like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Just a long-standing farmland battle.
She definitely has a step up on the animals. So I give her that.
Did you grow up around animals or is this something you just went, I'm going to try to be a farmer?
I've never been this kind of person, but spiritually, I just found myself like gravitating towards that. I grew up on beaches. I'm an island girl. I am Samoan and German. I was born in Sydney, Australia. I was raised in Hawaii. Then I grew up in Carlsbad, California. I've been on the coast my entire life. So I am not a farm girl whatsoever. It is all literally learn as I go. It's crazy because it's like I took on like a big chunk of land that hadn't been cleared. Like if you buy an actual farm out here, it's like insanely expensive. But I decided to just start from scratch. So buying a chunk of land and then clearing it and fencing it. And
I've never played this game before. Let's start at expert level.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, whatever, let's just go. Let's see how it goes. So,
but Nia, you did this though pre-release, right? So in many ways, did having this sanctuary become a place of peace after your release from WWE?
It really has. Like it's something that, you know, people don't really take advantage of, just going out in the middle of nowhere and enjoying like nature. And, you know, I have water, we have random like deer that pop up. We also have bears, like black bears, that kind of little baby bears, you know, they're sweet and cute, but you don't get too close. But it's been really, it's been such a great thing for me. And now I feel like it's something that, like, it's a legacy that I kind of created. So now, you know, my family, like my brother wants to come out and like put a house on it. And I want to buy the back 40 acres so that we can like expand, like maybe have like a family compound, you know, get really hippie with it. Everybody does their own thing. We exchange our goods. Live off the
Nia Jax commune coming soon.
Yes, 100%, right? No, it's amazing. And that's literally like, it's what I was doing when I had my time off, just really diving into myself and then getting back to a happy place within me.
Talk to us a little bit more about that. What did that entail for you? How did you get there?
So I had a really amazing life coach that Nikki Bella actually referred to me, and her name's Carrie. And I was never really big into, like, you know, we call it life coach, but basically therapy.
Right.
And I found myself just not understanding why I was in this weird, dark, unhappy place when I had been so blessed. Right. I'm like, why is there something inside of me that's just not like clearing? And so I had some good therapy sessions with her that she really guided me in direction to help me find to break through those kind of dark places that I was in. And like getting back to nature and getting back to like, you know, church and my spirituality and stuff like that. And that's really what helped guided me to get to like a place of like, okay, now I really want to start focusing on getting healthier. And cause my mental health was starting to get there. So I'm like, okay, my body, I want my body to follow in line. And yeah, just kind of all, it's crazy how it all just kind of came together. Like right once I cleared my head, the body and everything started following in suit.
I love that. That follows suit. Yeah. Everything that happens inside is more important and the outside comes with it.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have, Naya, for anyone listening that may be going through those daily struggles that you happen to be in during those times? Any advice?
So, I mean, it's hard because everybody has such a different struggle, right? My advice was I tried so hard thinking that like it was something outside of me that could help me. You know, if I buy this or if I eat that, if, you know, if I go out and do this and consume these things with all my friends, that maybe it'll just like make me feel better. Or like, I sound so vain, but if like I post this selfie and if I look really pretty online, that maybe if people give me this like baseless affection online, like with their likes, that I'm going to find some sort of like happiness. And that is not what happened for me. I literally had to sit with myself and really deep dive into all of my demons. And I had to clear them, you know, one by one to get to a good place. And so my advice is to really sit down with yourself and just be totally honest with what's going on. You know, it's hard when you're more honest with yourself. You know, like other people, like all my friends and family, no, you're amazing, you're great. You know, it's like, I love you guys because you love me, but I know there's something wrong. And I really had to be honest about that. So just being open and honest about it to yourself.
You mentioned the importance that we as a society have put on baseless likes and social media, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to us a little bit about how that can weigh on a superstar. Maybe back to your last run, but I know Kevin and I are not immune to it. Even as announcers, there are people waiting constantly to pick you apart, to jump on every mistake you make, to jump on mistakes you don't even make that they've perceived in their mind, and they push these narratives. And look, it's no secret. Nia Jax is a bit of a firebrand when it comes to the internet wrestling community. How did all that weigh on you? And talk about your therapy and your journey to sort of realize that that's not a priority.
Well, I mean, obviously can't deny that I get a lot of hatred online. But in the beginning I was like, oh, this will be good. You know, this will be good for, you know, the character will keep going on. But at the end of the day, like when you're by yourself and you're on your phone and you're looking at the constant hate, you're like, okay, then you're just, you're second guessing yourself. I'm second guessing everything I've done. Like, you know, I need to improve and I need to do this and I need to impress them. Like the internet is really hating what I'm doing right now. And it really, really messed me up. It got me into such a sad place of like, when I got released, I'm like, yeah, of course. Why not? I suck. Everybody hates me. Like there's no need for me to be here anymore. And, but then, you know, when I got into my therapy, and I've always said this before, I don't think anybody who's a happy person goes online and shits on other people.
Fair.
And you're right. Like I had to put it in perspective, like, okay, this is a character. And in WWE, like Nia Jax is blended with Lena because it's not like they run credits like Nia Jax, Lena Panini, right?
Right.
So it's like people when they're at me, like when they see me in the streets, people are like, Nia, you suck or whatever. You're just like, but Lena over here is actually a good person. And you know. So
wait, you mean to tell me somebody has actually approached you on the street to tell you that you sucked? Because that is not a risk I would be willing to take.
I was leaving an airport, like getting off a plane, and somebody, they shouted it. Oh, Nia, okay. You suck. No, but this is a funny part. They're like, Nia, you suck. You're actually not that big in person. You're not that fat. I was like, I'm like, thanks.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. But no, so like you sitting back with my life coach, she would just sit there and just, you know, constantly remind me of the fact that like there is, you have to find the happiness within yourself because nobody happy is going to sit there and shit on them. So you have to find like, okay, well, somebody must be going through something to actually sit there online, pick somebody apart for no reason because, you know, it's just like a bully in school. Like they're unhappy. That's why they're picking on you. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's generally where I came from. And now when I go online, it's more of like, okay, they're picking on Naya. They're not picking on Lena. They are picking on Naya. And that is a character I am very proud of people to be picking on.
That's really smart and tough to separate like that. So good for you on that.
Yeah, it's a congratulations, honestly, to get to that point mentally, to be able to decipher it and figure out what you filter through and allow in your own mental space. When I took on this broadcast role next to Corey, you know, from doing the backstage stuff, you get the odd tweet here and there, but I was never prepared for the amount of absolute that would hit the social media account and that I'd look at week two. I didn't look at any of it week one. I'll never forget. We went to Oklahoma City, Gravy. You and I went to the pub afterwards, had a few pints, and I went back to the hotel room and I was in the bathroom and I searched Kevin Patrick. Why I did that, I'll never do it again. I don't know. But I found myself sinking down the wall. No joke, when I was just scrolling at the amount of person, like stuff that they'd come at me for and tag me, and then other stuff that they just, I'd search Kevin Patrick and see. And I thought I was the worst human being on the planet. Like in that moment.
You are, but for different reasons. It has nothing to do with your commentary.
I mean, yeah. We'll get into that later.
You can't see past it in that moment. There's just this huge dark cloud and the importance of having loved ones in your life just to say you're not, first of all, remove yourself from it. But it takes time. And nothing can replace time, right? Like time to work on it yourself. I had one recently that I laughed with Gravy about that said, Kevin Patrick is the most annoying human being on the planet, period. Next sentence. And it's not even close.
They obviously haven't met Byron Saxton.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
But man, it takes time. It does.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Naya, was there a point that you can recall during your time away and while you're working on yourself and making all these changes in your life where you decided, okay, I think it's time to make another run at this? Or was it something that sort of happened by happenstance? Or were you really conscious of the decision that, okay, I'm going to give this another go?
So in the journey of like getting my body right, because, you know, that was something that really hit me when I was like, I put on 60 pounds in a year and I just being in a bad place. And I looked at myself. And so when I started on my fitness journey and I started losing weight, I was like, oh, let me get back in the ring. You know, that's another good workout. It was just mainly to get a workout.
It's great cardio. Like, yeah, exactly. No better cardio in the world than ring shape.
Exactly. I always tell people when they ask me, I'm like, you will never, like, you can run all you want. You can do all the sprints. Like, nothing will match getting in the ring for the cardio. So I had hit up Natty and I'm like, Natty, I just want to get in with you, you know, roll around for some fun. And mind you, this was after the Rumble. Like, I wasn't planning on coming back full time.
Okay. I thought this was pre-Royal Rumble. So the Rumble thing, let me pause you real quick before we go to the Natty aspect of the journey.
Yeah.
How did the Royal Rumble appearance come to be? Because that was a shock to all of us.
So, you obviously know my cousin Tamina. She was like, she was just like, I don't know, sis, this might be my last Rumble. And I'm like, oh no, is it your last Rumble? I would love to be a part of it. Cause they had asked me the previous year at just newly released. They had asked me to return for the Rumble. And I said, with a very expletive, no. and so this year I'm thinking like, oh, if they ask me, and if this is going to be Tamina's last Rumble, I really want to be a part of it. Like I would, you know, if anybody knows Tamina, she's got the biggest heart in the world
of any human, not exclusive to the wrestling business, probably exactly. Of humanity.
Exactly. 100%. And I was like, dang, I would love to be a part of that. So I had reached out to, I told TJ, you know, and said, hey, if there's any way, like, you know, they think they want to put me in the Rumble, I would love to be a part of the Rumble. And I told John Cone, And so, and then apparently they, it worked out. I was at my house, my mom's house in California, like 2 weeks before. And, TR, Dan from TR had reached out, was like, "Hey, so you're going to be in the Rumble." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "Sure, why not?" So thankfully, like, I had gear makers that, you know, got it together. And, but I had no intention of like being full-time again. I thought like, come back, have a cool, like little Rumble, you know, entrance, do something cool, possibly with my cousin, which didn't even happen. But, and then, you know, kind of go off and go back to the farm. So yeah, I wasn't intending on going, coming back permanently at the Rumble. But when I did get in the ring at the Rumble and I did experience the crowd and seeing everybody backstage, I was like,
got that bug.
Oh, I was like, I freaking miss it. And I was like, I wasn't in there long enough. I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And so, yeah, I was, then my fitness goals kind of like, you know, I was like, okay, I want to lose more weight. I want to be more mobile. And then that was when I said, okay, let me get some more cardio with Natty and see how it is. Like, I just got in the Rumble for like a minute and got tossed out. I didn't do like a match or run, you know, some spots. So that's when I was like, you know, Natty and TJ are so amazing. They're like, absolutely, come on in. And Natty loves good blow up drill. Blow up drill, blow up drill, blow up drill. So
take the girl out of the dungeon, but you can't take the dungeon out of the girl.
You can't. You cannot.
What's a blow up drill?
Blow up.
No. KP, a blow up drill is in. So I'm gonna go on a little sidebar here, but it's for all for context, KP.
Yes.
Pulling back the curtain here. To be in ring shape is arguably the highest level of fitness in, I would dare say, most, if not all, sports. Ring shape is very different from being able to run a marathon, but the physical necessity of being in a wrestling ring is start, sprint, stop, slow down, sprint. So if you're doing this on the street, I tell you to run, sprint to the stop sign, then jog across the street, then run backwards, then sit still for 30 seconds, and then sprint again. Your body doesn't know what to do. You can run 26.2 miles once a month, and you're in a different type of condition than you are when you're in ring shape. Some people aesthetically may not appear to be in great ring shape, but they are. That's a different kind of physical conditioning. You look all the way back to a guy like Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty was infamous for not being these prototypical pro wrestler physique, but Dusty could go an hour six nights a week because he had that conditioning. And that's what being in ring shape really means. So when Nia says, I need to get in ring shape, and a blow up drill is an exercise that you do generally in a ring that you just exhaust yourself. And then you push yourself past the point of exhaustion and it builds your in-ring stamina. And it can be something as simple as running the ropes or doing rolls or, you know, jump over the top rope and then dive under the bottom rope, whatever it may be. There's a million different variables or variants of a blow-up drill. But the goal ultimately is to get yourself in amazing ring shape.
Yeah. Right.
That was my Mr. Yeah. Wizard portion of the show. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that was great. No, you should have that. No, so running the blow up drills at Natty's, talking to TJ. And then, you know, I started like watching the product again. You know, before I kind of was like, I don't want to see it. But then I started, oh, let me watch the product and see how it's going. And looking at all the, there's so much new talent. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much new talent I could work with. And then hearing the reaction at Rumble, knowing that people still kind of remember the Nia Jax character, I was like, oh, I wonder if like, my character could kind of help any of these new girls, like possibly, you know. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm some guru, but like, I know that without a shadow of a doubt, Nia Jax is a great heel. And I believe that, you know, every babyface needs an incredible heel to feed off of. And I thought, well, you know, a good monster heel could possibly be needed at the moment. And I remember I was talking to Sarah Amato because she was my coach back at NXT. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you look great. You look incredible. She's like, man, you know, I really think that like you're made for wrestling. Like, I feel like you should try it again. I'm like, really? I'm like, I would love to, but I'm not sure. And so she's like, just text Hunter. She's like, just text him. I'm like, really? So I texted Hunter and I was just like, hey, I was wondering if possibly if you had a spot for me to come back. And then I want to say like 2 minutes later, he was just like, yeah, let's talk. Let's like get on the phone and chat when soon. I'm like, so wow. It kind of snowballed from there. Yeah.
It was that cool. Easy?
I know.
A Triple H we're talking about for anyone that's not sure.
Yeah. Sorry. And yeah, it snowballed from there and to where, you know, it I didn't really know when I was going to return. I just knew, you know, we just chatted about like a possible time, but you know, he's so incredibly busy that it was like, nobody knew when it was going to be. It was like, oh, possibly SummerSlam, after SummerSlam. We didn't know. And then finally I got the call. They're like, hey, you're needed. I'm like, okay.
I'm fascinated by the personal side of this, Naya, because you've talked about your struggles. You've talked about your struggles inside the bubble, right? Mentally as well, and how you found yourself on the farm, being away from the wrestling world. You're talking about returning with a smile, but what were some of the non-negotiables for you, for Lena, in returning that you didn't want to fall back into the same traps again?
So for me, I had to, I really did sit with myself and think like, okay, so, and this is getting real vulnerable. I had to talk with somebody on the plane, actually, Sunday night on the way to Raw. And how we were talking about how, like, when I was stuck in the bubble, I really didn't focus on my outside life. Like, I didn't focus on relationships. I didn't focus on, like, just myself and, like, essentially just Lena. And so this non-negotiable now is more of, like, I'm coming here to go to work to be a badass character of Nia Jax and give it my all when I'm there. When I'm home, I really have to get back to Lena. I have to turn that off. Make sure Lena is being taken care of, make sure that all my relationships in my life are taken care of. And then I can turn it back on when I go back to work. Cause that was something I didn't do the first time around. You know,
have you learned anything about yourself? Like, oh, this thing that I do now that I never did, or that have you tried anything new, or what have you learned about Lena?
So I am a competitor. So I just love doing something. So right now I'm into pickleball.
Everyone's into damn pickleball these days.
I know. But I joined my church pickleball team, and I bring like random friends and we'll go play, and like it's all ages, but I'm always getting my butt kicked by some of these older people, and it really chaps me because I'm like, damn it. How are they getting me every time?
We found Naya's kryptonite, the elderly.
I know. Pickleball
with 90-year-olds.
I know. And they get these spin shots and these trick shots, and I get so irritated. But I found that, like, outside of work, I need something to, like, continue to drive me to, like, get me excited to, like, get up and go. And I love Pilates. Like, Pilates is another challenge for me. I know this sounds, you know, crazy, but like I've always been a lifting weights athlete, like, you know, more of the sports athlete. I've never been more of like that dancer. I mean, you know, Graves, because
Carmella,
she's a big Pilates girl, and it's just such a different kind of workout. And that is another challenge that I've accepted. And like, that's actually what really sparked my weight loss, because I was like, I'm going to try this. It's something that like, I know that smaller girls do, but like, my core has been weak, and I really want to try it and see how it works. And I needed a low impact workout because I had put on so much weight. You know, when you're so heavy, doing high impact isn't good for your joints. And so I started Pilates, and then Pilates led to like other, you know, I was able to like do more like yoga and flexibility. And then I started losing my weight, and I was like, I'm going to get on the pickleball courts. And so like outside of work, I have my other activities. You know, my brother has this 1.5-year-old amazing little boy who just lights up my entire world, and he lives not far from me. So I was his nanny for the first 8 months of his life. And so when I come home, I get to be with him and show him all these cool different things. And so those are the non-negotiables. Like, I need to make sure that every time I come home, I get my time. Where's my pickleball, my Pilates, my family, not in that order, obviously, going to church, like, those are my non-negotiables of when I was coming back. Cause I need to make sure that like mentally I'm always going to be good, because then I can give my all when I go to work, you know, and then when I'm done, I can give my all to my family and everything else when I come home.
I love that. It's all about balance. And I think we all have to take that journey. I would say, admittedly, I am just now sort of figuring out that aspect of things within the last couple of years, done a lot of work on myself. I know KP's, all that stuff is extremely important to him. So I'm very happy for you to hear you all that. And with that said, it sounds like you are in a great place mentally, the place you need to be as effective as possible within a WWE ring. And you mentioned a few minutes ago about all the young talent and the changeover in the roster since your last run here. It's a very, very different environment than Nia Jax was used to the last time, in a sense that we've got a lot of heavy hitters nowadays. Yeah. You enjoyed a size advantage over most of your opponents almost on a nightly basis. But now you've got Raquel. Now you've got Rhea. Obviously, Bianca's still around. Jade Cargill's joined the fray. She's a powerhouse. Physically speaking, this is a totally different world than you left a few years ago. What stands out most to you?
That's okay. So that's what got me super excited, because I've always, you know, back when I first tried out, I've always been like the bigger girl. And so seeing that roster, I'm like, how cool would it be to be a part of this big powerhouse roster? Like going into like coming from a different era, like this is a new era. So I'm gonna have to change my entire way of working, you know, and it's going to challenge me mentally. It's going to be like a mental exercise. And, you know, I mean, Rhea, I got to work her once before I got released, and getting in there and having a little taste. She actually was the first person to ever make me bleed, like in the ring. It was super cool. I was like,
no one makes me bleed my own blood.
My own blood. That's exactly. Yeah. I said that to her too in the ring, and she popped. But no, so Rhea Ripley's insane. Like, I just love everything about her, and she's such a freaking powerhouse. And so, and Raquel as well. You know, I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, there's so many things, so many places me and Raquel could go. Like, we had our match last week, and it was just like a taste of what I think we could do. You know, I watched, you know, Bam Bam Bigelow and, oh my gosh, why can't I think? I watched Bam Bam Bigelow getting up and going off the top rope and doing some crazy being as big as he was, like 300 and some odd pounds.
He was like, you know, 360, over, almost four yeah, times. Yeah.
Yeah. And he floated around, but he, you know, Boss Man and him would put on freaking crazy matches. Mm-hmm. And he said these two huge powerhouses doing things that people are like, wait a minute, big people can do that? And so now I'm like, ooh, I can do these things. And so I'm excited about it. And like Jade coming into the mix, like you look at her and she looks like a freaking superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're just like, oh my gosh, what can we do with this? Like this, we can make the crowd just go nuts for this kind of stuff. And that's where my mind goes with this new roster. I'm so excited.
Well, you don't have to wait very long for your opportunities to mix it up with not only one, but four other female superstars in the Fatal Five Way for the Women's World Championship coming up at Crown Jewel. Looking across the landscape, why should the WWE universe believe that now is the time and that Nia is the woman to dethrone Rhea Ripley?
Well, I mean, let's be real. At the end of the day, these girls are all trying to give me their best shot. And I said it Monday night, I haven't given anybody my best shot. Not what, like, you've only seen a little taste of what I can do. I haven't even shown anybody, we haven't even had a full match or anything. So I feel like all these girls going for the title, I definitely feel like I'm the one to dethrone Rhea. You know, she needs to be put in her place. She's got her little dom that's over there, you know, talking and all it does is take one simple bonsai drop off the top where I squish her and it's done.
The Annihilator.
The Annihilator.
If you're looking around at that match, though, you're talking a lot about Rhea Ripley. Who else stands out from this Fatal Five Way? Because every single woman in that match is a badass.
Well, I'm not taking any of them for granted because, you know, you have Zoe Stark. She is super athletic, super duper strong. You know, she might be a little smaller in stature, but that girl is a powerhouse.
She's a beast. And you have,
right? Shayna Baszler, who basically, you know, gave Ronda Rousey walking papers at SummerSlam. I mean, that's a pretty huge feat to accomplish. I was in the ring with Ronda and she was a total freaking badass. So, you know, Shayna also broke my arm, the bitch. But, you know,
you got a receipt coming for that one, right?
I'm like, so she better get ready. And then you got Raquel Rodriguez. You know, she is a muscular, badass bitch. Like, I can't wait until, like, we actually have a one-on-one moment where we just totally go at each other and see who comes out victorious, which will be me. But
also, I think Raquel owes you some new gear. She may have spoiled your in-ring attire.
Ruined my gear. Her makeup print was on my stomach. I thought it was so rude. I had to take it to the dry cleaner. I still haven't gotten it back yet. So I'm going to send the bitch my
You need
bill.
To do like the $1 million man thing, but with your dry cleaning receipt. After you take her out, just shove the receipt in her mouth. Like DiBiase's do with a $100 bill. Just here, you sparkle cleaners, pay up.
Yes, I need to. I couldn't believe it. It literally was the perfect imprint of her face. That was the only thing people were sending me messages of after that match, was a perfect imprint of her face on my stomach. I was like, the ghost of Raquel isn't leaving me yet.
Well, the good news is if that's what everybody took away from it, they've got a lot more to enjoy and experience between the irresistible force and Raquel Rodriguez in the future. I cannot wait to see you collide with the rest of these badasses on the roster. Naya, I am happy you are back. As my friend, as a competitor, it's nice to see your smile. Despite what the internet says, I know who you are. I enjoy being around you. And you are always welcome. I know this is the first time, but hopefully the first of many here on After the Bell.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Naya, where can the After the Bell faithful find you on social media?
Don't find me on social media. I don't want to hear from anybody.
All right. Enough said.
Yes.
Easy enough. Well, in the meantime, make sure you're following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find KP at Kev_Egan. Listen for free wherever you get your podcast. Just search After the Bell and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Full episodes of ATB are available on the official WWE YouTube channel each and every Monday. We've got some big things coming your way in the very near future. ATB 200 right around the corner. Thanks again to Nia Jax. And we will be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, and more WWE After the Bell.